Dr. Dre, man, crank up that beat,
Love
man. Let's go.
Let's you ready?
Crank up that beat.
Give us that Cena. There it is.
I'm the Washington Redskins fan. You say back in the day, crank up that diesel.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
In case you forgot.
Time is now, in case you forgot.
Oh, yeah, sure you're right, sure you're right.
That is always a pleasurable sound to hear. The champ is here. We are ready to kick it off. You are officially talking sports with the 12th on a Thursday, July the 23rd. And, man, it is a pleasure to get back into the fold. Once again, we got to kick it off. I always want to introduce myself. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my cohorts. Got to throw it most first and foremost to Mr. JQ. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I am awesome. I found out Bryson's going to switch to wide receiver. Oh, between the All-Star game last week and then this week, I am getting good news every week. Let's keep it rolling.
Shay Q can't stop the trend. I love it. And it always my
can't stop.
Trainer,
won't
Robert
stop.
Ford. How, yeah, there it is. T-Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, living the dream, man. Talking sports with two of the greatest sports fans on the planet. And let's make it do what it do.
All right.
I love it. I love it. The way that kicks off is I always want to throw out the numbers to the show and all the fun pertinence. If you want to call in, that number is always 424-243-9519. We are also in the Twitter universe. If you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that space. We're also on Facebook or also social media. If you want to go to facebook.com/12thMAN Sports or if you type in Talking Sports as 12th, you'll find us. And it's been a flurry of activities. Obviously, we've been posting fun stuff. Greatest point guards. Your thoughts about happenings that's going on in the sports world, too. So, a lot of things to get started. Fellas, let's kick it off, man. Let's kind of get this party started. First topic, Tom Brady versus the NFL. What's the holdup? Does somebody have pictures of Roger Goodell? I don't know, Rob. What do you think about this, sir? I'm going to kick it off with you, sir.
Well, I mean, I don't have any sources on this, but my personal opinion is I actually think Roger Goodell is afraid of the backlash he's going to get on whatever decision he makes on this, and I think he's just holding off his decision. And I know that now one thing I do know is that there's several owners around the National Football League wants him to hold firm on that four-game suspension. There are also negotiations and works. The Patriots and Tom Brady has offered to see if they can change it to a $1 million fine as opposed to him being suspended. Roger Goodell is considering that, and he's considering that. But once again, the owners want him. There are several owners in the league that want him to hold firm on that four-game decision. So I think from Roger Goodell's standpoint, he's afraid of the backlash he's going to get if this suspension is reduced or thrown or washed out. I think there'll be several fans in the National Football League as well as owners who will be totally upset if he was to go that route. And I think that's why he's taking so much time on this. I think he's afraid of the backlash in whichever route he decides to take on this matter. And, you know, personally, I personally got a gut feeling that he's going to make a decision before they start training camp on next week. I don't have any exclusive information on that, but that's just a gut feeling on my part.
JQ, what are your thoughts, sir?
I think he's just trying to continue to save face, and I really think, you know, he missed his opportunity to announce his decision one way or the other with the whole DeAndre Jordan thing happening. If he could have tried to slip under the radar while that was happening, while other things were happening in the news with other sports, it would have probably been better for him. But now that you've already had the All-Star game, you've had free agency die down for the NBA, it's all about the NFL and starting the training camp. And I totally agree with Rob. There's a faction of owners that wants him to uphold that suspension, and he's stuck in between a rock and a hard place right now. He doesn't really know what to do. But my issue with it is, how do you say I'll take a $1 million fine but not a game suspension and then say you didn't do anything wrong? So if you didn't do anything wrong, then how do you say I'm going to pay $1 million? That part I don't get. So that to me says that you have some culpability somewhere along the line. I'm not going to pay $1 million fine and then out of the next breath say, but I didn't do anything wrong. If I'm giving you $1 million, that means I did something wrong. So he's got to uphold it. His problem is that he came down too swiftly trying to get save face and get back into good graces, and then he heard the appeal and said, oh, I messed up, and now he doesn't know what to do. So I don't know where he's going to go with this. He's going to make somebody mad. There is no good way for him to get out of this. I just don't think there is.
And there's one other note that I failed to mention here. Another issue that Roger Goodell is having here is there's a very good chance that Tom Brady will appeal this in the federal court, and there's a very good chance the NFL will lose in federal court. And and that's the one reason, just like the Saints situation, you know, they took it to federal court and the Saints won. The players, for that matter, they won in federal court. And, you know, that's his situation a few years ago. And so there's a very good chance that Tom Brady will win this appeal in federal court. And so that's another reason why Roger Goodell is wavering on his decision and possibly considering taking the fine. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here. But like I said, there are several NFL owners that want him to hold firm on his four-game suspension.
And real quick, Andre, on that one, I think that's his best course of action is to uphold the suspension and then let somebody else overturn it. Then he can go ahead. Then he can come back and say, "Well, I did my job, and somebody else overturned me." And then it takes it out of his hands, so nobody can really be mad at him. So I think that's what he's going to end up doing, knowing that he's probably going to lose. Where losing in a appeal decision is actually a win for him.
That's a great call. Yeah, JQ, man, I agree with you on that point, too. That way he comes across looking like, hey, man, this kind of happened, you know. So, you know, like I said, Tom Brady, he's actually hired the same lawyer that did the original appeal that they won. So I think, like you said, Roger Goodell, he looked like he was in the proverbial catch-22 situation, and he's going to come across looking like, you know, like he's going to be okay if this actually comes to play, too. So. Good call, Don.
By the way, he's still the worst commissioner of professional sports.
Wow.
No,
you got to get that in there, Rob. I love it.
Had to get that in there. He just so happened to be working for the best league in, you know, professional sports, obviously. But he's still the worst commissioner in professional sports.
No, I think
money,
that still
making
worse,
money.
But nobody cares about the NHL like that as across the board, so he can fly under the radar. I still think it's Bettman, but I give you second worst.
All right.
Rob is still a little sore about that. Man, let's keep moving here. Next topic is that the Steelers actually extend Mike Tomlin's contract. This is a pretty interesting move. I think it's a good move, so I'm going to throw it to JQ. Any thoughts about this as well, about the Steelers extending Tomlin's contract?
I hate to give Pittsburgh credit. I hate it more than anything in the world, but he's 82. He's 82 and 46, and he's won a title, and he was – within an Aaron Rodgers, you know, great game of winning two. So, I mean, how do you not extend him? Who else are you going to get that's going to be better than him? You know, and Pittsburgh has had a track record of keeping their coaches. I think what they've had, three in the past, I don't even know how many years at this point between Tom and Noel and
Bill Cowher.
Cowher. So, That just goes along with their playbook. I think that's just the no-brainer. You extend him, you extend your quarterback, you keep it rolling. Why change anything at this point?
Rob, what are your thoughts about that, sir?
I couldn't have said it better. JQ actually kind of stole my thunder, but I was actually going to bring up the same point about the consistency within the organization historically. They were consistent with Chuck Noll for several years. The same with Bill Cowher, and you know they never fired Cowher. He actually just stepped down. He wanted to have some time with family and things of that nature. And so they've been consistent, very consistent, sticking with their head coaches over the years. And that formula has worked for them. They've been very successful with that formula. Obviously, Chuck Noll won four Super Bowls. Tomlin has been to two and won one, and Cowher, if I'm not mistaken, won one as well. So they've been very successful with that formula over the years. If it's not broken, don't fix it. And you can't argue with – and the Steelers, even though he had a couple of down years, the Steelers, you know, believe that, you know, that he will bounce back. And and that formula has worked for them over the years, and it's been successful. So you can't question his track record.
Right. And you got the Killer Bees. You got, you got Ben, Bell, and Brown. So I think they're pretty set on offense. You know, you get anything back out of that steel curtain defense, then you're going to put yourself back in it. And, I mean, they're not playing in the – I mean, it's a tough division, but you never know what Andy Dalton's going to do with Cincinnati. Cleveland is still Cleveland. And, you know, they always play good, hard games with Baltimore, so they always have a chance to win that division. So, again, like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, man, this is like you talked about, man. What a great story, man, because you can see the difference between a team that's only had three head coaches and a team like the Raiders that have had like 20 over the past couple of years, too, in the same time span. So, you know, not that we're picking on the Raiders, but just kind of showing you the difference between an organization that's pretty consistent and, an organization that after Al Davis has kind of been a little challenging since this, too. So, good calls on that, too, guys.
Hey, you bashing a Raiders fan. You know we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. You know they're going to be tweeting.
They already know.
His name is JQ, America.
they already know.
Bay Area. His name is JQ. Hit him up.
You got to keep it real. Yeah. You got to keep it real. as much as JQ hated talking about the Steelers, as much as it's challenging for me to talk about the Cowboys, let's predict their record this season. If you know that Dez Bryant did the colossal, wanted to hold out, and he got his deal, they released, or they didn't re-sign. Obviously, they let DeMarco Murray go. Was that a good move? Because some people are probably thinking in Jerry Jones's ear that, you know, he had a huge season last year and that now with all those carries, he's probably going to go downhill. But what's going to happen to the Cowboys? That offensive line got better. They got the steal of the calls and getting Leo Collins. They signed him as a freaking free agent. So will the success keep going? Is it Tony Romo's year? What's happening? Too much confusion with Dez Bryant. What's happening, Rob? What do you think is going to happen with Cowboys this season?
I'm going to say they're going to go 11-5 this season. I think they're still going to be the class of that division. I think there's still some question marks about Romo on his back. I mean, that's obviously got to be room for concern. The offensive line got even better, as you mentioned, with Lael Collins, who was going to be a top 15 pick in the draft. It wasn't for the situation in Baton Rouge. Scouts wasn't quite sure if he was a suspect or not. It turned out he wasn't. And, it just was bad timing on that situation, and Cowboys got a steal as a result of it. So their offensive line is going to get better. They're going to have a running back by committee approach. So that's going to be interesting.
Word for it.
But with that offensive line, I think they'll be able to get by with it. I think the key is going to be Tony Romo's back. And here's what I think about the NFC East. RG3 has got to be somewhere between the 26th to the 32nd best QB and starting QB in the NFL. I mean, that could be two wins right there for the Cowboys right there. His game is fading. Ooh. I think the problem with, we talk about RG3 is he hasn't recovered from the injuries, and he doesn't I don't think he fully believes in himself as a pocket passer, and his mobility is not quite the same. Then you got the Eagles situation, Sam Bradford, coming off, even though he's going to be cleared for training camp, he still has yet to be healthy, and the Eagles are banking on him to be their starting quarterback. I mean, that could be two wins right there for the season for the Cowboys. And believe it or not, the Giants may be the next most stable team in the division. If they can get a Victor Cruz back healthy to pair with Odell Beckham, that could be a scary wide receiver tandem along with Reuben Randall. On the surface, I could be completely wrong here, but I'm going to say 11-5 for the Cowboys.
Wow.
JQ.
And I hate
Robert
the Cowboys.
Off his rocker? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is Robert off
yeah.
his rocker? Yeah, go ahead, JQ. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think he's fully off his rocker. And the reason why I say that is because I feel like they're going to split with the teams kind of like a home and home in that East, because you got to remember last year they lost to Colt McCoy, who was the third-string quarterback for the Redskins. So I'm going to give them a 3-3 record in the NFC East, and I have them outside of the conference. I have them beating Atlanta. Sorry, Dre, but I'm not a Ryan and unbeliever yet on the road. I have them beating Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Carolina, the Jets and Buffalo, and then I have them losing to Seattle, Green Bay, Miami, New England, and New Orleans. So that, with everything I just said, puts them back to the proverbial 8-8 team that I think they are. I just think that's where they're going to end up at. When they let DeMarco Murray go and they used him, you know, gave him all those carries and then didn't bring anybody else in to replace him, even though if you have a great offensive line, you still have to have somebody to carry that load, because it's been shown now that if you don't make it about Tony Romo throwing it 50 times a game, you have a chance. But you can't count on McFadden being healthy, and you got the other guy, you know, still in underwear, and you don't know if he's going to make it the whole season. So I'm a non-believer, and I think that sets them back more than they're willing to believe they are. The swing games are, like Rob talked about, are against Philadelphia and Washington. If they can sweep those two teams like they should, they can move up to me in what I have them at. But I still think they find a way to pull the Cowboys and lose those teams in Washington and in Philadelphia and end up 8-8.
I tell you, I hope you're right. I really do.
That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, okay. We'll see about that. Okay, all right. I'm not going to comment on something else about Atlanta, but we'll keep moving here. I can't say anything until we see what happens, man.
No,
so,
go ahead. I know you're mad about Atlanta, but...
No, I'm not mad. I think we're all kind of like...
You sound like a mixtape right now.
No. I'm saying we're... You know what, Rob? You know? I can cut you off real quick. No, I was gonna say, we're all kind of wait and see. We don't really know what's gonna happen. I mean, with the new regime, so it could be like you said. It could be, you know, that's gonna be a tough game. It's in Dallas, so you know, yep. Teams are gonna give them the nod, man. So we're just curious to see what's happening too, man. So you know, it is what it is, honestly. Good stuff, man. Good stuff on both sides of the fray. I kind of think that I kind of more lean towards UJQ. That's going to be more of a split with the teams, and losing to Colt McCoy did not help. So, you know, it's going to be a little tougher than we predict. I think that since they are leaning on Romo and his back, man, he could be like one game, man, from just kind of, you know, being shut down for the season, man. So that's just too much to overcome. I'm not 100% sure. I know that even though the offensive line is really great, somebody has to at least step up, man. So I don't know. Unless they get, like, lucky and hit lightning in a bottle, have some rookie running back come in and just play out of their mind, it's going to be tough for them. So, you know, they may be 8-8, and we'll see if they can limp into the playoffs for sure. But anyway.
You know, it's not hard to find good running backs these days, though.
It's not hard to find adequate running backs these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard them being linked to Chris Johnson. If he can get like the healthy, I mean, that might be a game changer for them, because, you know, he was involved in that drive-by shooting, and he lost a lot of weight, but they say he's on the rebound. So if he gets on the rebound and they get Chris Johnson on, like, a veteran's minimum contract, and he is anything closer, you know, to the CJ2K Chris Johnson, then they have something. But they're banking on Darren McFadden, even behind a good offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm just not a Darren McFadden fan. He's not going to last the whole season. So you can't give him that workload that you gave DeMarco Murray and think that's going to work out for you. That's why I had them taking a big step back for me personally.
But you got Dez Bryant, guys. Come on.
Double teaming.
We'll see how that works out, too. I'm sure Brandon Whedon is warming up his arm right about now. 11 minutes
Stop.
In the show. We were talking about, obviously, the NFC. We're going to keep it in that. Sam Bradford apparently looks like he is ready for training camp. Is everyone kind of shaking in the boots about this? Is Philly kind of like on the cusp? I mean, I know this is an interesting conversation. What do you think about this, JQ? Is this going to change how the Eagles are going to sit this, or Chip Kelly got like something else underneath his sleeve? I'm kind of curious about this.
So I'm going to say this is going to be the quickest segment of the show, because it doesn't matter until we see Sam Bradford play for a full year. You can't have me excited about him being ready for training camp. Who cares? Is he going to make it through 16 games? Is he going to understand the offense? Is he going to make it work with all the other cuts and acquisitions that the Eagles have made? Until I see a full year of him in that Eagle system with Chip Kelly, I'm going to reserve judgment, and I'm going to always err on the side of it's not going to matter, because I haven't seen it matter for him yet. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever.
Rob, what's your thoughts, sir?
Well, I mean, even if he is somehow healthy for 16 games, which he's yet to be in college or in the National Football League, I still don't think he's a good fit for Chip Kelly's offense. I just don't think it's going to work. I actually think that, believe it or not, I mean, I don't think Mark Sanchez is by far any stretch of the imagination the elite quarterback. I think he's a better option as a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles based on what they currently have on their roster. And I think he's a better fit. But, you know, with either one of those guys, I don't think they're going to be successful. You know, I mean, at best, they're middle-of-the-pack team, somewhere between 7 to 9 wins at best, and possibly even as down as low as the 6 wins with the quarterback situation that they have. I just don't think, definitely, even if Bradford is healthy, he's just not a good fit for Chip Kelly's offense.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't think he was the best fit for that, so you're kind of curious as why they made that transition, man, or why they made that move, man. So I don't know. You know, plus you got Tim Tebow too, man. So you know, you got to figure out how he's going to try to come into the play too, man, and make some things happen.
There you go,
his man crush
on Tim Tebow. He had
Here we go.
He said that in like 5 weeks, man. I figured it'd be a good time, man. I'm just reporting, man. He's on the roster. Man.
I know you were trying to find a way to get it in the last 5 weeks, though.
I've had plenty of time. I kind of left it alone, man. So I'm just saying he's part of the rotation, man. So we'll see how that plays out for sure, man. He's mobile. He can do it.
He's part of being a camp body.
Man, that's
somebody to take snaps with the four teamers.
Speaking of four teamers,
that means you have to pay for a chat one.
Yeah, this guy's got a second career. Name five.
He'll be back on the SEC network before you know it.
Man.
Ooh,
I'm trying to get to the segment. I really am. Name five players, Rob, that are facing a career defining season. What do you think about that, Rob? Don't say T squared either.
Well, we've somehow already talked about a few of them. I'm going to say RG3, obviously.
Yep.
You know, I think this is definitely a career defining season for him.
Yes,
you know, I think this is make or break season for him this year. It will determine whether he's going to continue to be a starting QB in this league or he's going to be holding clipboards on the sideline. Obviously, he'll still be able to find jobs in his league as backups if he doesn't make it this year. But yeah, you may not. And but this will be a career-defining season if he's still going to be a player or, you know, a starter or a backup in the National Football League. So we're going to find out. You know, where his career is going to take him based on this season. I think another guy is Colin Kaepernick as well. You know, he started off blazing, but I think he slowly, the last couple of years, if you look at it, his quality on the field has diminished. So I think this is also going to be a career-defining season for him as well. Can he get back to where he was about 2-3 seasons ago? On a football field with his decision making. Last year, some horrible decisions on the football field. And so I think this is definitely a career defining season for him as well. We talked about Sam Bradford. Whether he comes back healthy or not this coming season, you know, I think if he does not, you know, he's a guy who probably won't be in the National Football League again if he doesn't come back healthy this particular season. This definitely would be his last shot. And one guy I'm looking to see how he comes back from his torn patella tendon is Victor Cruz. You know, is he going to have that initial burst coming off that that injury? Is he going to have that initial quick burst coming off that first step off the line of scrimmage, which he's been very good at over the years? If he is, can come back somehow, come back healthy, putting him with Odell Beckham Jr. can be scary. But that's a big if coming off that injury. And I think he got that injury in like week 6 last year. So, I mean, that's, you know, you have to think it'd take a full year for him to be completely healthy for that. And last but not least, Michael Crabtree. For somebody who came out of college just blazing, you've yet to see him, you know, be a stud in the National Football League. And so I think this will be kind of like a make-or-break season for him to see if he can take his game to the next level as well.
Can't believe Rob said blazing so many times, but we'll keep moving here.
JQ, what are your thoughts about this as well? Oop, JQ, you still with us? Did I lose you guys?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still here. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
I said I got Sam Bradford and RG3 for the same reasons that Rob just said. I mean, no need to rehash that. I'm going to go a homer alert on you. Andy Dalton. He has the same contract stuff that Kaepernick has where they can cut him now because all his guaranteed money is gone. He hasn't won the playoff game yet. And a little insider information, I was at the celebrity softball game where he played in, and when they announced him, all the Cincinnati fans booed. So he has an uphill. Yeah, they booed him roundly. So he has an uphill battle to only not get him down the field, but to win over the fans. So, Andy Dalton, you are on the list. Russell Wilson, just to throw one out
there.
Yeah,
I was going to say that too.
I thought about him as well.
He's asking to be the highest paid player in the league. So, for me, when you're trying to get a new contract and you've been buoyed by Marshawn Lynch and the best defense in the league, you can no longer be a bit player and say you need to be the best paid player in the league. You have to be the guy. So, for me, this is a make-or-break season for him, so to speak, because if you ask for that kind of money, show and prove. And want to throw a little off the radar, and I talked about his struggles, but Johnny Manziel, he came into the league with a lot of fanfare, and you know he's gone through his own personal struggles. If you can't beat out Josh McCown when you've been drafted with a first round pick by Cleveland, and you say you're fully dedicated, you're not doing the money side anymore, and you're back in the building, you cut out the partying, you have to show and prove now. It's time for you to step up. And an honorable mention real fast will be Eli Manning. He's got to get the Giants back into the playoffs. You know, they have a history of winning Super Bowls in New York, and he's throwing too many picks, taking too many sacks, fumbling the ball too many times. And you touched on it. If he gets a healthy Victor Cruz back, he's got Odell Beckham Jr. He's got to find a way to get them back. That's a winnable division, I think, for them, for all the issues we talked about with the Cowboys before. So those are mine that I would throw out there.
I'm going to go a different direction. We've got about 3 minutes here. If I can get this in within a minute here for our two-minute drill here. I got to go in a weird – don't make fun of me, man, but I'm talking about, Jason Pierre-Paul, man. What's going on, man? You know, seriously. I'm curious as far as how what happens with him, man. that's a tough call. Also, guys, I'm going like running backs, man. Adrian Peterson, what's happening with him, man? I'm curious as far as what's happening with him.
Excellent
Vikings,
call. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just kind of curious as far as what's going to happen for him. Off the field, Ray Rice, is he going to get signed by a team? Curious as far as that, what's going to happen with him? Is he going to find his way back into the field?
No, he's not.
Another person I thought about, I'm throwing that out there. Another person I had was Phillip Rivers, only because I'm kind of curious as far as what's happening with L.A., in San Diego. What's going to happen with stadium and stuff like that, too?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with that? And I got kind of honorable mentions. Jameis Winston and as well as Marcus Mariota, those two are going to be tied by the hip. Curious as far as their success, because Marcus has been under the radar, guys. And this is just me just kind of like, I know we're not talking about. I'm curious as far as how he's developing in training camp, because all you hear a lot about is Winston. And I'm curious to see how Marcus is going to handle everything within, kind of handling his career. He's the guy, man, within Tennessee. He got signed and some of that, too. So we'll talk about that as well. So anyway, Rob, we got about a minute 45. You want to kind of kick that in as far as the OT portion? And then any thoughts about that? We'll kind of open up for the OT portion, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. One more name I'll throw in on that list is Greg Hardy. How is he going to respond coming off that suspension as well? We know he's an elite pass rusher historically. And, let's see, how he responds off the field as well as on the field this coming season for the Cowboys. That should be interesting as well. But moving forward, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you all tuning in. Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Make sure you like our Facebook page, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Next week, we'll be back to our normal night of the week. It'll be Tuesday night. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. That'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. We'll be continuing to preview the NFL season as we're getting ready to kick off training camps next week. College football training camps will be starting the first week of August, so we'll be getting into that. And so stay tuned for some predictions, and we continue to feature different teams and make predictions on divisions, so you don't want to miss these upcoming shows. stay tuned for our OT portion. You can listen to this portion on tomorrow when you get an opportunity. We have some college football and still some NBA coverage, so you don't want to miss that as well. Tune in. Good night, people.
And unlike Kobe,
going up
we'll always...
on a Tuesday.
That's right.
And, oh, yeah.
And unlike Kobe, we'll talk to you guys too, man. So keep it going.
Yeah.
Right. I love it.
You know, Kobe, that's JQ's. That's JQ's name, bro.
I know, man.
Yeah, man. You got
to
shoot him a text or something. My word.
He didn't even say, I'm happy to have you guys here. He was like, doing like radio silent. He was like, I'm out of pocket. Oh, man.
Yeah.
They say, oddly enough, the only one he called was DeMarcus, not DeMarcus, the rookie,
D'Angelo
Russell. D'Angelo, yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of DeMarcus Russell.
Oh,
D'Angelo
man.
Russell.
Hey,
yeah,
don't put
that
stink on it.
Oh, man, he needs to call his players. Huh. All right, gentlemen, we are officially into the OT portion. And I guess let's kind of keep us off too, man. We're going to kind of talk some college football here. SEC college football coaches, they're talking a little junk, talking about, man, we're beating each other up during the regular season, and it's just not fair when we get to the finals.
Stop
all
it.
This fun stuff and playing. All, yeah, it's just, yeah. Are they whining a little bit too much? JQ, what do you think about this, sir? What's going on? And obviously, I went to JQ because he's from the opposite Big Ten here. So what do you think about that, sir?
I mean, yeah, it is. They're whining a lot, and it's like, come on, man. All the coaches across all the conferences have the same problem with, you know, getting the reports back from the NFL about where you're going to be drafted and how that impacts how they're going to play in a bowl game. And everybody feels like their conference is tough, and going on the road in conference is such a hardship. I mean,
not
you know,
fair.
You were on a
not
great
–
Yeah, you know, you guys had a historical run. I would give the SEC all the credit in the world. They went on a historical run, but everything is cyclical. And when your time comes to, not to an end, but starts to come on a decline maybe, you know, don't make excuses to say, hey, we had a golden age for what we did. We need to retool, get back to what we did, best that made us the powerhouse conference and go back to winning the championships and just leave it at that. But everything with all the excuses, it's like, come on. You know, all the coaches go through that, you know, up and down the line. So don't say that and put that as why you didn't win the title this year and why you had a bad bowl, you know, schedule or bowl game results. It happens. You bounce back for it. You show the world why you're the best conference, and you move forward. But right now, you know, it just makes everybody that already hated the SEC make them hate you worse for all the whining and complaining that you're doing because everybody goes through the same thing.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, my favorite team, LSU, obviously is in the SEC, but I totally agree. You know, shut up and just play the game of football. I mean, you got Nick Saban whining about his team not having chemistry because they got so many draft-eligible players. Hey, well, if you don't want these draft-eligible players, don't recruit them. I mean, they give you an opportunity to win and be in that position. Every team that's playing in the playoffs has got a lot of draft-eligible players having the same issues. And first of all, the NFL don't want to hear it. If somebody else would have said it besides Nick Saban, the NFL don't want to hear it from Nick Saban because Nick Saban has been a selfish person his entire career. And, you know, he's going to – every option he's had, he's going to take the dollars. So if these players are doing something to make themselves better – or improve their draft position. I mean, this is their career at this point. And he's done that his whole career. He's been selfish. Nobody wants to hear that from Nick Saban of all coaches. If another coach would have said it, you know, maybe it would have been okay. And every team that's in this particular situation or fighting for the playoff spots, going to a bowl game, they all are dealing with the same thing. And so you have to find a way to deal with it, Nick Saban. Gary Pinkel complaining about Notre Dame shouldn't have a chance to be in a playoff, being in the independent. I mean, that's to me. I mean, Notre Dame plays a tough enough schedule to where, if they do go 10-1 or 11-0, 12-0, they should be allowed to play for a national championship because of the strength of their schedule. I mean, they play USC every year. They're playing five teams from the ACC every year.
I was going to say
why. A couple of teams. Yeah, they play Stanford every year. They play a couple of teams in the Big Ten every year. They play a tough enough schedule to where they get through it. I would like to see Notre Dame in the conference. I really would. But at the current stage, I don't think that should be a penalty against them. So I don't like that complaint. And then Gus Malzahn complaining about they beating each other up in the conference. Ole Miss coach Hugh Freeze saying it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, come on. I mean, you get about a 3 to 4 week break after the bowl, after the SEC championship game. You get enough time to heal and rest and getting ready for the playoffs. You won 7 straight national championships. Just quit the whining and complaining. Come on, and play football like men.
How come, Rob?
Rob is not upset at Nick Saban at all. I just say that real quickly. All right, keep moving here. Rob is going off. I'm going to hold
Love
off
it.
On the top 5 Heisman candidates real quick. Talk about Steve Spurrier. He actually called an impromptu press conference to announce, guys, he's not retiring. I ain't retiring. Can I finish? Can I finish? Can I finish? Basically, because of something that happened in Atlanta, you know, that, you know, Mark Bradley writes an article about, you know, some amazing things about recruiting and whatnot. And, yeah, so Steve Spurrier just wants to let everyone know he's not retiring. You know, they got to batten down the hatches and not let some Colombian reporter talk junk about this. Rob, what do you want to talk about this real quickly? And I'll put it to JQ and we'll talk about some top 5 candidates real quick. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's amazing. When I was 69 years old, it went 11-2. They weren't talking about me retiring. Now I go 7-6 or 70.
Right.
They talking about I'm going to retire.
It was
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I love it.
You gotta love Steve Spurrier, man. You never know what's gonna come out of his mouth when he's doing the press conference. It's amazing. But
I love it.
But I tell you what, I mean, he looks healthy. I mean, I can tell you that. Yeah, I mean, he's lost some weight.
Yeah.
He looks healthy. He's still got a strong golf game. And I mean, I would like to see him stay in the college football game at least another 5 years. And you know, just because, you know, he's entertaining, and he says he ain't done. He says, hey, we're gonna have a good team this year. He said the old ball coach is not done.
Oh, man.
I love
it. The great thing about having color books about, and you know, what do you say about the color books that somebody stole the book? What was the joke? Somebody stole the books at Alabama. The good news is they were color, something like that. Did you hear that one? About,
he's mad.
I'm missing the joke, man. But, yeah, go ahead, JQ. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Man, I agree totally with you guys. He is great for college football. And the fact that you even write that about him. Without him, what is South Carolina going to do? Who are they going to hire? You know, he understands what's happening there at this point. He understands the SEC landscape. And, I mean, going to the SEC media days with the sunglasses on, he's got, like, the old blue blockers on. I love Steve Spurrier, dude. I love him. He comes out there, and he just shoots straight from the hip. He tells you what's on his mind. If you ask him a silly question, he's going to tell you you're stupid. I mean, I love Steve Spurrier. I love him to death. I know I shouldn't, but I do. But, you know, get off the dude. This dude has done enough in the college game to write his own ticket, you know. The same thing what he used to do with Bobby Bowden trying to kick him out. As long as South Carolina is going to have Steve Spurrier, leave him alone. I'll just leave it at that.
I got a funny real quick Steve Spurrier story I'm going to share with you guys real quick. You know, when he took the Washington Redskins job, you know, a reporter asked him, is he prepared to work these long hours like NFL coaches do, 16, 17 hours? And he says, well, you know, I'm not going to sit in here and be working 17, 18 hours coaching. It don't do that guy down in New Orleans any good, Jim Haslett. You know, it's not helping him stay in the office for 17, 18 hours, is it? He said, you know, I'm going to work my normal 4 to 5 hours and go play a little golf.
Nice. Love it.
Oh,
yes,
the Saints
exactly.
Beat the Redskins like 43-20 that year. I guess he beat Jim Haslett. Or Jim Haslett. He didn't even know how to pronounce his name right.
Love Steve Spurrier. Love it.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. Yeah, man, I concur, man. It's just, this guy is great, man. What did he say in his press conference in that, you know, if you hit a woman, you know, you're obviously off the team, but he said if you smoke, you know, pot 1 to 2, 3 times, yeah, it's okay. and then you got
it's a Steve Spurrier world.
I'm going to raise that.
Smoke weed every day.
Yes, sir, you know he out there. On the 8th hole.
Then he made fun of him. Yeah, the 8th hole. But then somebody chimed in about Les Miles. You know, Les, I'm going to raise you that 3 to 5. Honey Badger is on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Rob. Steve Spurrier.
We have the want for victory. That's how you do it. That's what Les Miles talk.
Yeah, the want the big. Yeah, I don't know about Les Miles. I don't know why you guys don't have a quarterback. I'm just going to leave that alone. All right, 11-39. I'm just saying. No, I'm asking. You guys, great recruiting class. How come they can't get a quarterback? It's beyond me.
Ohio. That's because Ohio State had three of them.
Yeah, sir.
They hold them hostage. They can let you have one of them, right? We got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about some top five candidates. JQ, he put from the SEC, so I apologize. I figured it'd be outside of that too. But Rob, go ahead. What are your top five, real quick?
Oh, we can change that. I mean, I know we were talking a little bit about the SEC this week, but you know, I'm going to start with Nick Chubb from you guys' neck of the woods, running back from Georgia.
Yes, sir.
He's definitely could. I think Georgia right now is a favorite to win at SEC East, and he could be a big part of that. And represent the SEC in the Heisman. I think Dak Prescott, Mississippi State. You know, I know he's lost a lot of his personnel around him, and I don't expect Mississippi State to be as good as they were last year. But if he can rise to the occasion and carry that team to 9-10 wins, you'd have to put his name in that conversation as well. So he would be one to watch. Watch Jeremy Johnson from Auburn, too. I think he's an upgraded quarterback at Auburn over Nick Marshall, too. He's got a strong arm. He's still very athletic. And he's going to be a new starting quarterback at Auburn in that offense. He could be scary as well. Leonard Fournette, LSU, sophomore running back. You know, he could definitely be in that conversation. Kyle Allen, quarterback, Texas A&M. You know they're going to put up points, and they know they're going to throw the football around the football field. So definitely he should be in that conversation. And I'll even add another one, Derrick Henry, running back for Alabama. Maybe honorable mention, but the other five are really the five I think has a chance.
Yeah, no, he's honorable mention. He's in the top five. You got four of the five that I have. I have only addition I would have would be Alex Collins, running back from Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas. I had an honorable mention.
Nice call.
Too.
Nice call. Mm-hmm. Good call on that.
Because that pig suey, and you know, you got the Wisconsin coach, you know, it comes from that Big Ten. That,
they're going to run the football.
They're going to run the football and try to play defense and shorten the game. So I would agree with everything you said, and I would just throw Alex Collins into that mix as well.
Absolutely.
Good call. Guys, got 4 minutes here. We're going to do 2 minutes here about really quickly some NBA teams that are not guaranteed a playoff spot if they win their division. Rob, you got to kick it off really quickly, sir.
Yeah, as you know, last year the Portland Trailblazers were seeded the number 4 seed, even though they had like the 6 or 7 best record in the Western Conference because they won their division. They were automatically guaranteed a top 4 seed, which caused the Spurs and the Clippers to meet in the first round. So now the NBA are looking to make some changes. They're just going to seed you based on your record, regardless if you won your division or not. And there's a 5%. It's never happened in NBA history where a division champion has not made the playoffs. But based on the NBA's calculation, there's a 5% chance that a division winner could miss the playoffs under this new system. So more than likely it's not going to happen too often, but based on this new system, which I kind of actually like. And to be honest with you, I think the NBA
love
should
it.
Go to a top 16 seed.
Ooh,
I think because
– be
well, and the reason – yeah, I'll tell you why. I would prefer them go – they would seed all 16 teams for the simple fact that one conference is just so much stronger than the other. And, you know, in the East you can pretty much breeze through the playoffs. And the Western Conference, they're beating each other up. I would like for them to just throw all 16 teams in a pot and seed them. And having the matchups fall, whether it's East versus West in the first round or not, I would like for them to break it up. I mean, I think they're years away from doing that, but this is definitely a start.
Stop whining, Rob. Hey, JQ, what's your thoughts?
I know we're pressed for time. I agree with all of that. I say, good. Let's not reward mediocrity. You know, best records get
absolutely
in. Let's have the best 16 teams play. It's only going to be good for the ratings, for the playoffs,
yep,
for everything. Let's do that. I'm fully behind that statement. Just because you play in a weak division doesn't mean you should get in over a team that plays in the harder division. So, top 16 teams, get in, let them ballot out, get a true champion.
Yep.
Love it. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure sharing the field of battle with you guys. Any last thing to say, Rob, before we sign off? That we literally got a minute.
NBA expanding. They need to put a team in Seattle. Good night, people. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Join us on next Tuesday night. It's been fun, fellas. Good night, people.
Take care.
Yes, sir. O-H-I-O. Let's go. We got to get it, Virginia Tech. First game, Labor Day weekend. Let's go.
I thought it was going to be classy.
I got to be a homer today. Let's go. We got to get that win in Virginia Tech.
Love it. Keep it going, fellas.
Who that nation? Go Tigers.
Oh, here we go. Keep it going, right, guys. Luck. It's been fun. Good luck, guys. Much love. See you guys same time, same channel next week. Dre's out. Be good, fellas.
All right, y'all.